For anybody who is paying even a little bit of attention to the readings today, you probably caught the theme of shepherding, of God being the shepherd, as we heard in our first reading, and as St. Paul talking about, that we who are once far off have been brought near. And we heard, again, in our first reading that we hear about these bad shepherds, and that God says, I will shepherd my people. I will draw them from all the foreign lands back to myself. So we have this common theme of shepherding. And as a matter of fact, shepherding is perhaps one of the most central images of Jesus. If you go all the way back, the oldest image of artwork that we have of Jesus, the oldest picture, is from Jesus in the catacombs of Rome, of Jesus, the good shepherd, carrying a lamb on his shoulders. So this idea of Jesus shepherding is very, very ancient and very, very important. It's a very robust theme. So what does shepherding, how does that apply to us today? I mean, most of us, I would guess, most people in Wichita, Kansas in 2015 don't have flocks of sheep and aren't, you know, shepherding on the weekends and stuff. So we might miss a little bit of the nuances of what's going on here. When Mark tells us Jesus' heart was moved with pity, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean? What is a sheep like without a shepherd? Well, I grew up on a farm. We had, you know, anywhere from 10 to maybe 20 sheep and goats at a time. And I'm here to tell you that being called a sheep is not exactly a compliment, okay? You can look into a sheep's eye and you can see the lights are on, but nobody's home, okay? So they're a little bit slow on the uptake. And even goats are smarter than sheep. They'll figure stuff out a lot faster than sheep. But sheep are a little bit slow. Now, what is a sheep like without a shepherd? Well, I'm telling you, like if the apocalypse were to happen and mankind was wiped out from the face of the earth, domestic sheep would be the next extinct species. Like I'm telling you, they're pretty much helpless. They can't quite do stuff on their own. Well, I made up a little list of some of the stuff that our goats would do, all right? So, first thing, goats and sheep don't know what to eat, okay? If you leave them on their own, they're going to get into stuff they shouldn't be eating. And for here in Kansas, one of those things is milkweed. If sheep get a hold of milkweed, it's poisonous, and they'll get sick, and they could even die from it. So if you don't keep them out of the field, if you're not out there, you know, cutting the milkweed out, they're going to get a hold of it, and they're going to be in trouble. And the other thing, my brothers one time, actually happened more than once, but if you leave the gate open to the grain, to the sweet feed, they will get in there and they will eat 100 pounds of sweet feed like that, and they'll gorge themselves and the feed will swell in their stomachs and they can die from it. We lost a couple of sheep and goats that way. And if they don't die, they just flop on their side and just moan for hours, wishing they were dying, right? It's not a pretty sight. And as me as the shepherd, watching the sheep groan in pain, it's not a very fun thing to do, right? But there's not a whole lot that can be done. When it says that Jesus looked in pity, I think he saw a gorged sheep flopping around. The other thing, wool, all right? Wool for sheep in the wintertime, it's great. It's awesome. Keeps them warm, it provides a layer of safety and protection. But in the summertime, that wool by itself becomes suffocating. I mean, it can literally kill sheep if the wool is left too long. And not only that, but it slows them down too. They're not quite as nimble or fast. And if it's an area where there's lots of rocks and stuff, if you're weighed down with an extra 100 pounds of wool, it's much easier to step into a crack and break your leg. And then you're in big trouble, right? So that wool, something that they need help getting rid of that, something that's good for them in a certain time, in a certain season, but it can also be the downfall. But perhaps, and this is the thing we hear the most of in today's readings, the theme that draws them all together, perhaps the most dangerous thing is their tendency to wander, to stray. Sheep, you know, you can almost hear the inner dialogue like dum-da-dum-dum-dum. Oh, here's some grass over here. oh, and here's some grass over here. Next thing you know, they're everywhere. They're gone. They are, you know, and if, especially if you're in an area where water's limited, and the sheep goes off on its own and doesn't have water, what's going to happen? Not good. All right? It's the same thing. Sheep kind of scatter. They go their own way. This is the point that I want to talk about today, the scattering, the wandering off on your own. All right, let's apply some of these things to us being called sheep, all right, to the gorging on grain. We call that greed. It's one of the seven deadly sins, or gluttony, one of the seven deadly sins, and we all do it. We're not sheep, we're not dumb as sheep, but we all do it in some form or another. The greed and gluttony of wanting to hold material stuff, of wanting to hold on to something, make it more important than God. Milkweeds, the poison that's out there, all right? These sheep, they'll go and eat it because it tastes good, right? How many things do we have in our lives surrounding us that appear good and glamorous on the outside but are hollow and empty and poisonous? Things that the church tells us again and again and again, don't do it. It's not worth it. It's poisonous. It may look good, but it's like rat poison. There's poison in there that will kill your soul. Things like abortion, things like contraception. How many times has the church said that, proclaimed it from the rooftop, and ridiculed over and over and over again? And yet we see the destructive nature of this is tearing families apart again and again and again. It's not good. And finally, the wandering away, the isolation. This really is the most dangerous in many, many ways. Cutting yourself off of isolation. Isolation, darkness, that is the devil's playground. And that nowhere is this more obvious, nowhere is this more to be seen than perhaps in the realm of something like addictions, something like addiction to alcohol or drugs or pornography, things that people do not want others to know about. They want to keep it to themselves. They want to hide, and that is exactly the devil's ploy. Now, St. Ignatius, one of the greatest spiritual writers, he had a great insight into the spiritual nature of the soul. And, you know, St. Ignatius, he was a founder of the Jesuits, but let's not hold that against him, all right? But he had this set of rules, a set of guidelines to help you go through the spiritual life. And rule number 13, lucky number 13, right? Rule number 13 was that it's the devil's choice. It's the devil's preferred method to remain secret and not to be revealed. To remain secret and not to be revealed. And we see this over and over and over again when we keep those sins to ourselves. When we try to hide, the devil does not want light. He's the darkness. Remember, Christ is light, devil is darkness. And we see that theme play over and over and over again. The devil thrives in isolation. He thrives in despair and doubt and darkness. And so often, we fall for it. We play right into his hands. We hide the things that we don't want others to know about because it's embarrassing or it's difficult. We would rather be in isolation, suffering and pain and silence, with the devil whispering in our ears, it's always going to be like this. You're never going to be free. Brothers and sisters, that is not what we are called to. In the second reading today, St. Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, those scattered sheep, the sheep in isolation, have become near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed and brought back into the fold. We don't have to live in cowarding and fear. We don't have to live in isolation. We don't have to merely get by. There is freedom. There is hope. There is joy. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, every last drop that was spilt on the cross, it buys our redemption. We don't have to be okay with mediocrity, with a stagnant spiritual life. We're called to flourish. He's come to bring us life and to bring it to the full. That is the message of Jesus Christ. You know, when a sheep goes off by itself, that's perhaps the most vulnerable time for it. I mean, think of how predators work. Any kind of predator, they all do the same thing. I mean, whether it's sharks, whether it's lions, I mean, wolves, they go for the weakest member, the one who's oldest or youngest or wounded, and they drive them off. They cut them off from the rest of the flock to drive them into isolation. And that's exactly what St. Ignatius says the devil does. He cuts us off from the rest. He cuts us off from the community of the church, from our husband, from our wives, from our parents. And all of a sudden, it's just me and him. And when he has us backed into that corner, he keeps whispering lies over and over again. See if you recognize these. See if you've heard these before. You will never be free. You are worthless. You are unloved and unlovable. No one is going to understand. This, fill in the blank, alcohol, pornography, whatever. This is your only option. You are alone. You've gone this far already. Why not keep going? Those ring a bell. Those resonate for some of you. They certainly do for me. These lies that the devil plants that we ingest as little seeds, and then they grab hold and the roots start to sprout. And they take hold, and pretty soon we start operating out of an identity that I am alone, that this is just how it's going to be, that I have to put up with this. We start to hide. We don't want anyone to know there's problems in our marriage. On the outside, it looks beautiful, wonderful, but inside, there's pain and isolation. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ, and we don't have to live like that. There is freedom, there is hope, there is joy, I promise you. So the other aspect, the second half of Rule 13 from St. Ignatius, the remedy, so to speak, is to shine light in it. Shine light in the corners, in the darkness. The devil hates the light, and that's exactly what we want. The two greatest ways are the sacrament of confession. Bring it to our Lord. Get rid of it. Don't hang on to it, because holding on to it, is just the sin just rots in our soul. Hand it over to God. And the other thing is spiritual direction. You know, go to someone who has some sort of understanding of the spiritual life. It doesn't necessarily have to be a priest. I'd be happy to help you with whatever you can. Father Yurok is available. But it doesn't have to be a priest. Just someone you know, someone you trust. Just say, look, this is going on. I don't know how to proceed. And I'm tired of being in this stagnant state. I want to grow because there's freedom out there. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to be like sheep without a shepherd. Because we have a shepherd, we have been purchased, we have been brought back together. There's freedom and hope and joy. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, may this be so for each and every one of us.